Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Erevin, Daf Chav Gimel, and we are in Chav Beis Amud Beis. We're continuing from yesterday's discussion, important discussion the Gemara had yesterday regarding a big statement of Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that there is no Rishus HaRabim in Eretz Yisrael. If you remember the bottom of the Amud, we got off the Mishnah. The Mishnah was discussing whether or not traffic can basically take away the status of a wall. So machlokas in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim say that if I have Pasei Beiros and I have traffic going back and forth through the Pasei Beiros, so that it's not going to do anything to the wall. The wall still has status. A wall is a wall is a wall. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. If you'll look at the first line of the Gemara said, quoting Rav Yochanan, oddly enough, that from Ma'akan, from here, Hodiecha Kochen Shal Mechitzas, you see, you get a sense of how strong a wall is. A wall is a wall, regardless of whether there is or there is not traffic. But then there's the sheet of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says no, that if you have traffic going through the Pasei Beiros, so that is going to upset the status of a wall, and the Pasei Beiros lose their status. And oh, by the way, the Gemara notes that Rav Yochanan passes like Rav Yehuda. We know that because Rav Yehuda made a statement that regarding the Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, El Malay, had it not been for that the doors were locked at night, so Yerushalayim would have a status of Rishus HaRabim. Why? It's Rishus HaYachid, right? There are walls surrounding Yerushalayim, yeah, but there's traffic going through. And because there's traffic going through, so as a result of that, it doesn't have any more status anymore, and it's considered now a Rishus HaRabim. So what do you see now? Basically, you see that once there's traffic that's going through, according to Rav Yehuda, which is the Pesach of Rav Yochanan, so then it loses its status. It's no longer considered a Rishus Yochim, but rather it's a Rishus Rabbim. Then the Gemara made another very large statement, the name Rabbi Yochanan, that Eretz Yisrael ain chayav malam mishum Rishus Rabbim. There's no Rishus Rabbim in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara spent some time trying to understand what exactly that means. There's no Rishus Rabbim when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. What could that possibly mean? So the Gemara says, well, is it because that there's a natural border around Eretz Yisrael made up of ravines and mountainous areas, and so maybe that creates a wall? And the Gemara says no, because then you get to the absurd point of suggesting that the entire world, every continent which has water all around it, is also going to be considered now a Rishus HaYachid because it has natural walls around it. It's surrounded by the bedrock, the ocean wall, which is an absurdity. We talked more about that yesterday in terms of why that's an absurdity, but that's an absurdity. So then the Gemara says, quoting Rav Yochanan, oh, I know the explanation of Rav Yochanan, well, which makes sense because Rav Yochanan was the one who said it. The Gemara says it's because malos umorado sheber Eretz Yisrael. Because it's just not easy to get through Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has a lot of elevations, right? You're walking uphill in Eretz Yisrael nearly all the time. Right, we don't remember that you walk downhill. You just always feel like you're walking uphill. And so in Eretz Yisrael, that's why there's no Rishus HaRabim, because it's not easy to traverse. And that's why there's no status for Rishus HaRabim, which basically brought us to the point yesterday where we're learning that in order to be Rishus HaRabim, it's not enough to be 16 amos wide and no roof over the top, and maybe or maybe not 600,000, that's Machlokas Rishonim, but now basically we're learning a new detail, new prat, to the requirement of Rishus HaRabim, and that is that there has to be free-flowing access through the Rishus HaRabim. It cannot be hard to navigate across. That is the Gemara's understanding of Rav Yochanan, based on the fact that in Eretz Yisrael there's no Rishus HaRabim. Okay. The Gemara attempted to challenge this pshat, and the Gemara went through a number of braces. We went through all this yesterday. We're up to now Tashma. We're on the first wide line of the Amud. We're going to, again, challenge this pshat. So the Gemara quotes a braisa. The braisa talks about a mavui, which is cutting all the way through. Now, the language of the braisa is a little bit challenging. It says, mavosam ufalashim bibaros, meaning into a bore. So, meaning the mavui goes through a bore. Just the language is a little bit difficult. We're going to work on that language in just a moment of the braisa. But in the meantime, however, So vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's a mavui. So therefore, it's considered Rishus HaYachid. Vis-a-vis Tuma, as we talked about yesterday, there's also a difference in halacha regarding Tuma. Safek Tuma Rishus HaYachid is Tameh. Safek Tuma Rishus HaRabim is Tahor. However, you have Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid by Tuma has nothing to do with structure. It has everything to do with the number of people. Right? Two is private, three is a crowd. So we learned it from the halachas of Sota. So as far as this mavu is concerned, so vis-a-vis Tumas, the Rishus HaRabim. Anyway, first things first, let's just work on that language of the Braisa. Bibaros akadatcha, ela libaros. Okay, so the first change we're going to make in the Braisa is just understanding what the Braisa is even talking about. It's a mavu that's opened up into a bor. So in other words, one end opens up into Rishus HaRabim, and the other end opens up into a bor. So it's not really a mavu mefulash in the classic sense, where you have Rishus HaRabim on one side, Rishus HaRabim on the other side, but rather, on one side Rishus HaRabim, on the other side basically it's a dead end. Okay, cul-de-sac. Right, it's good. So as far as what it is for Shabbos is Rishus Yachin. So Rishus Yachin is Shabbos, Rishus Rabbin Latumah, money. So the Gemara now points out, so now, who is the author of this Braisa? Elam Rabbanan Hashtam Ahasam Denichatash Mishay Amri Lawas Rabbin Mavatli Hacha Deloni Chatash Mishay Lo Kol Shekain. So once again, to suggest it's a Chachamim, it's not a crazy suggestion, it's not a ridiculous suggestion, but the problem is, there really is no Chiddush whatsoever. Because we know that according to the Chachamim, nothing's going to upset the status of a wall. Even free-flowing traffic won't upset the status of a wall. So if free-flowing traffic won't upset the status of a wall, so then here, where one of the ends of this mavoi is a pit, so of course it's not going to upset the status of the wall. So in other words, the problem is, you could say it's a chachamim, but there's no chiddush. There just simply is no chiddush. So elalav Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be Rav Yehuda. And the problem, of course, is that according to Rav Yehuda, we said that free-flowing traffic upsets the wall, but not traffic which is impeded. Maybe that doesn't upset the status of a wall. Which the Gemara yesterday's daf said that according to Rav Yehuda, any traffic is going to upset the status of a wall. We talked yesterday about one lane traffic according to Rav Yehuda. We talked about even if you needed ropes to get from one point to another point, that's going to upset the Rishus HaYachid status. So the Gemara says, "Olam Rabbanan v'Rishus HaRabim L'Tumas D'Rechlei." And again, the Gemara says, like we said yesterday, no, the author of the Braisa really is the Chachamim, and you're right. As far as Shabbos is concerned, there's no Chiddush whatsoever. You're absolutely correct. If unimpeded traffic is not going to affect the status of a wall, impeded traffic for sure is not going to upset the status of the wall. That's a very good point. But the point is that even though Lagabi Shabbos, it's a Rishus HaYachid, Lagabi Tum, it's a Rishus HaRabim, that's a Chiddush. Tashma. The Gemara goes over one more Braisa. Shvile Beis Gilgol V'chayot Behem. If you have pathways of Beis Gilgol, Rishus Yach L'Shabbos, Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah. Ve'ezu Shvile Beis Gilgol, so could we get some sort of clarification? Arme Debe Rav Yana Kol She'ein Ha'eved Yachol Litol Sa'al Shel Chitin V'yarot Lefnei Sard Yut. So the Eved is able to, the Eved is able to carry a saw of wheat and run in front of the street. In other words, it's not an easy street to cross, to traverse. It's Rashi describes as being a very steep incline. Okay. Anyway, money. So once again, the point of this Braisa is that it is considered the Shvile Beis Gilgol. So it's considered a Rishus HaYachid, Lagabi Shabbos. So once again, the point is as follows. We're going to assume it has some sort of walls around it, otherwise we have nothing to talk about. And it's not easy to get through. And meanwhile, it's considered Rishus HaYachid. So once again, let's start the same discussion. So once again, according to the Chachamim, there's no Chiddush. Unimpeded traffic is not going to affect the status of a wall. So you think this is going to affect the status of a wall? You can barely get through. You can't even carry something to get through this type of structure. So I love Rav Yehuda. So once again, the author of the Braisa is Rav Yehuda. So Amalei Shvile Beis Gilgol Kamart. So the Gemara says, well, let's slow down. In other words, we're talking here about Shvile Beis Gilgol, Yehoshua Oev Yisrael Haya. So the Gemara explains like this. Look, Yehoshua was Oev Yisrael, meaning we're talking about Yehoshua, the one who conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael. So he loved Eretz Yisrael, which I think is pretty much a statement that stands on its own. The Gemara doesn't need to fortify it, but the Gemara is going to talk about the consequence of him loving Eretz Yisrael. And as a result of him loving Eretz Yisrael so much, Haya Omei V'tikin Lahem Drachim V'Srakya. So what did he do? So he created roads. Right? Who's the American president who created roads? Hoover?
Eisenhower.
Right. Right. So good. So Yoshua also. So he created roads, and so here's what he did. So basically like this. He looked around, he surveyed Eretz Yisrael. Any place in Eretz Yisrael that was easy to access roads and to create roads. So therefore he said, this is going to now be public street. So this is now going to be road. Anything which was impassable, he said, okay, that's not public property, that'll be private property. And whichever shevet was allocated, that particular parcel of land was given to that particular shevet. And so now going all the way back, Rashi says, so how does this now impact our discussion? So it kind of reshapes our whole discussion. So Rashi explains, Malos u'maradus teretz Yisrael, modina lachdein chayav in alem. So good. So in other words, we go now, go back to the original statement of Rav Yochanan, the bottom of the Amud of the previous daf, where he says, we're now going to say, yeah, whatever Yoshua decided, that's not passable, meaning that's not easy to go through, so that's going to go to the private property, so yeah. So any of those properties in Eretz Yisrael, you're right, that can never become Rishos HaRabim, because people cannot access it, people cannot walk through it, and you're right, that's never going to have status of Rishos HaRabim. But then we're talking about actual roads that were designated by Yoshua because they were free-flowing and easy to get through and navigate. So that could be Rishos HaRabim. So Rav Yochanan's statement, although it sounded very large, Ein Chayev Elam Mishum Rishos HaRabim, he wasn't talking about Gantz Eretz Yisrael. He was speaking specifically about those parts of Eretz Yisrael that was not earmarked by Yoshua. Okay, and that then brings us now full circle to but basically, the in terms of a definition of Rishos HaRabim, we pretty much haven't budged. Meaning that, yeah, one of the definitions of the Rishos HaRabim is that there has to be free-flowing traffic. That's what comes out from this entire discussion. Okay, and a lot of halach lamaisa, by the way, which is not in the early works, not in Shulchan Aruch, not in the Rambam, but in terms of how exactly does traffic impact on the Rishos HaYachid status. Meaning if I have a Rishos HaYachid status and I have traffic going through, like basically any town or city where we put an Erev, so how is that going to impact it? So major discussion amongst the Achronim, and more contemporary works that discusses that. From our Gemara, it's very clear, at least according to Rav Yehuda, that traffic, even impeded traffic, is going to impact the status of a Rishos HaYachid. $600,000 is never discussed in the Gemara. Never. Okay? In other words, I'm usually not that comfortable speaking so black and white, but it's never discussed in the Gemara. It's only discussed in the Rishonim, and you'll find it in Rashi, you'll find it in Tosfos, Rashi back on Daf Vav, and Tosfos also in that area, in that ballpark. So they're the ones who say that it needs a $600,000 person traffic to go through in order to be Rishos HaRabim. But you won't find that in the Gemara itself. Okay. Good. That's the end of yesterday's daf, and now we start with today's daf. Today's daf...
How is Gemara defining it?
So the Gemara doesn't give... Gemara just works with whatever definitions we see on this daf, which is that it has to be free-flowing. Meaning that... Well, even if it has a carmelite status, you're still not allowed to carry inside of it. But the big difference is that if it's a Rishos HaRabim, so then you can't make an Erev around it, meaning you can't put your strings up.
Because of people going through it, how many people can go through
it? Right, I don't know. I don't know. The Gemara does not give any type of specific number or amount. We are starting the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah now takes us back to Pasei Beiros. And we're going to be sitting on Pasei Beiros for just a little bit of time this morning. And look, we now know, we said over this already a number of times, on your way to Yerushalayim for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so you're going to stop on the way, you're going to park everybody for Shabbos, and you're going to park around a well, and now you have a Heter Chachamim to create Pasei Beiros, the minimalist Rishos HaYachid, with the four brackets in the corner. And now you'll be able to carry from the well in order to give your animal water. Although we did learn a couple days ago that really this primary heter is for your animals, not for you. In fact, if for you, as far as you're concerned, we learned earlier in this parak, you should actually go down into the well and get the water directly from the well. But for your animals, you have this heter. Okay, there are basically, let's segment all this into four categories. Number one, we have, well, let's start off two categories. There's a bor and there's a be'er. Be'er is a well with a natural spring source. So in other words, chances are it's not going to dry up. Okay, it has a continuous regeneration of water coming from underground sources. That's the be'er. Then there's a bor. Bor is just simply a hole in the ground, collected rainwater, sometimes water there, and sometimes the water is not there, depending on the season. And that is, those are two categories. And then, even those two categories, we could subdivide it further into Rabin versus Yachid, public versus private. Public, it's in the street, owned by everybody. I guess we could say, based on the Gemara we just learned, in other words, it's on one of Yehoshua's zoned roads. So that's considered Rabim. That would be owned by everybody, as opposed to a Yachid, which is privately owned by one individual. So now the Gemara, based on those categories, the Gemara is now going to discuss. The Mishnah starts, Echad bor ha-Rabim, ube'er ha-Rabim, ube'er ha-Yachid, osalem pasen. So this heter of Pase Be'raus works for a public pit, public well, private well. Now of those three, what's the last man out? Who didn't make it into this list? It's the bor ha-Yachid, private pit. The Mishnah goes on to say, if it's a private pit, so you have to make walls around it, real walls around it. What's the difference? Why is the heter only if it's a well or if it's a public pit? So Rashi goes on to explain. We said this earlier in the perek, but let's reiterate. Because as far as the be'er is concerned, be'er is not going to dry up. Unlikely that it's going to dry up. The whole heter over here is because of the water. The only reason why the Chachamim allowed us to make this minimalist mechitza is so that we can access the water. As we learned earlier in the parak, no longer water, no longer mechitza. Ein kan mayim, ein kan mechitza. But by the be'er, very little concern because it's not going to dry up. So when it comes to be'er, doesn't matter if it's public or private, it's always good. You can always make your pasta be'eros around it. When it comes to a pit, we're worried. We're seriously concerned. There may be water starting Shabbos, but the chances are is that there will not be water throughout Shabbos, and therefore the water is going to dry up. We're going to forget that the only reason why we are allowed to put up this minimalist walls was because of the water, and we're going to carry in this area on Shabbos, even though there's no water, so is the concern of the Chachamim. What's the difference if it's Rabim versus Yachid? So Rashi goes on to further explain. If it's Rabim, so we're here to remind each other, meaning we're gonna look at the water. I see that there's no longer water. I'll tap my friend on the shoulder and I'll say, we can't carry here anymore. So in other words, there will be a system where we can remind one another. If it's Yachid, if it's privately owned, so that means that no one's there to remind one another. And so that's why the Chachamim were concerned. That is how Rashi sets it up. Right. So, assuming it's privately owned, how could the private person put it in the Rishos HaRabim? Right. Aside from the fact that he's going to be liable for all damages coming out of that pit as well. Okay. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Okay. So Echad Bor HaRabim, Be'er HaRabim, Be'er Yachad Osel HaPasim, V'al Bor HaYachad Osel HaMechitza, Gavol Yudfachim Divrei Rabbi Kiva. So that's Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava is more machmer. Omer Ein Osel HaPasim, Ella Be'er HaRabim Bavad. Ulashar Asun Chagura, Gavol Asar Tfachim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava, the only category that fits into Pasa Be'eros is only going to be Be'er HaRabim. So it has to be a well, and it has to belong to the public. Other than that, you don't have the heter of Pasa Be'eros, and you got to make rope walls, loved walls, like we discussed earlier in the Masechta. I'm Rav Yosef. We're starting with the Gemara in Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm a Shmuel. Halacha ke Rav Yehuda ben Bava. That's the halacha. So we really are limiting the whole application of Pasei Be'eros. In addition to the Gemara saying earlier, it's only for Oli Regalim. In addition for the Gemara saying earlier, you can't use in Chos Aretz. Now, on top of all that, we're further limiting it, and it's only really going to be, you can only use it for a public well. Like Rav Yehuda ben Bava. The Am Rav Yosef, Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Lo Hushu, Pasei Be'eros, Ela Be'er Mayim Chayim Bavad. And another thing is that even when we say it could be used only for a public well, it has to be well that is Be'er Mayim Chayim, clean, crisp water that could be drunk by you and me. Now that's a strange halacha, and we noted this already before in the Masechta. Not the first time we're hearing this, that it has to be Ber Mayim Chayim. Because, as we talked about earlier in the Masechta, it really is not for you, meaning the whole hetter is really for your animals. So why does the water have to be such good water, Ber Mayim Chayim? Clean, crisp water, when you're not the one drinking it. So we pointed that earlier, that's a little bit challenging, it's a little bit difficult, but that's a halacha. The halacha is that pasta beros is only for Ber Mayim Chayim. Utsricha, the Gemara says, now both of these statements are necessary. The Iyash, min halacha, grav yuhud, ben bava, hava, min adarab, min afilu, min chunasim. Because had we just said the halacha is like Rav Yehuda Mebava, I might have thought even mechunasim. Mechunasim, collected water, dirty water, disgusting water. And the only reason why he said Be'er HaRabim is only to exclude himself from the position of Rabbi Kiva. And that's what Be'er Mayim Chayim comes to teach us, that it cannot be just well water, but it has to be, in addition to that, also clean water, crisp water. And if all we had was a statement that the halacha follows that you need Ber Mayim Chayim, I wouldn't have known there's a difference between Rabim versus Yachid. And that's why the Mishnah goes on to tell us that the halacha, that's why Shmuel goes on to tell us that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Bava, to tell us that it has to be Rabim and it can't be Yachid. Okay? So two quick halachic rulings regarding Pasei Beros. Number one, it only is for a Ber Rabim, not for a Ber Yachid, and not for a boar, period. Not for a boar Rabim, not for a boar Yachid. And the other halacha is that it has to be Ber Mayim Chayim, has to be crisp water. Okay.
What does the water quality change from Ber Mayim Chayim to
it's a reasonable question. Thank you. So it's a reasonable question, but it seems to be, again, we'll go back to the Gemara statement of Mayim Inkan Mechitza Inkan, meaning if you don't have the right water, then you don't have the allowance for this Mechitza.
But the thing is that once Shabbat started, it was Ber Mayim Chayim, and Shabbat it
could fall. Right. Well, look, if the water's gone, so even though we started Shabbos with the status of using, but if the water's gone, the Mechitzas are gone, so I'm going to make an argument, not that I know I'm right, but I'd make an argument and say that once the quality of water changes as well, you lost your heter. The Odam Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Haginav HaKarfaf, okay, good. Now we're going to make a little bit of a shift in discussion over here. We spend most of our parents talking about the Pasei Beros, and as I mentioned already, it's not Halach L'maisa because, again, it's for the mitzvah of Alila Regal. We did talk about, perhaps, that it could also be for the mitzvah of going to yeshiva and learning in yeshiva as well. But the Gemara points out that may be true in Bavel, it's not true in Chutz Aretz, outside of Bavel. Okay? But, and there was that Rashi that we pointed to back then that discussed this as well. But in other words, but basically, Pasei Beros is a halach of Lola Maisa, meaning it's something that we don't have into practice. This minimalist wall of the four brackets. But it is now going to segue us into a discussion today, which is very halach l'maisa, and that is making these inferior rishus yachid. You see, Pasei Beros is a rishus yachid, but it's an inferior one. Okay, like we know, meaning it doesn't have your four mechitzas in the classic sense. It doesn't even have three mechitzas in the classic sense. It's brackets with a lot of airspace, but because we cover the corners, so therefore it works. However it works, it works. It works as a rishus yachid, but it's inferior. Now, what does that inferiority mean, practically speaking? So, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, there's an opinion that says that it can't be greater than Beis HaSayim. I can't make the Pasei Beros greater than 5,000 square amas. And so, essentially, now what we're going to learn is the following, is that if I have other inferior Rishus HaYachid, it also cannot exceed 5,000 square amas. Okay. First off, where do we get this number from, 5,000 square amas? What's the magic behind 5,000 square amas? So if you look at the block I wrote today on the board, so you'll see that we have over there, the entire perimeter is 50 by 100. That is the Chatzar HaMishkan. We read about in the Parshios, Truma Tetzava, Vayakob Pekudei, about the construction of the Mishkan. The entire Chatzar of the Mishkan was 50 by 100. 50 by 100 makes a total area of 5,000 square amas. So that is, structurally speaking, our largest Rishos HaYachid area known to the Jewish people before entering into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So that's where the number 5,000 square amas comes from. You're going to see, it's often expressed in the Gemara, not as 5,000 square amas, but as a base sasayim. Two sa'a. Traditionally, what's done back then is that they measure land. You can measure land one of two ways, either by a linear measurement of the actual land itself, like we just did on the board, or how much seed can I plant in that land? So typically speaking, I know, I know very little about this, but typically speaking, the average amount of seed, where if I have two sa'a of seed can be planted, is in a parcel of land that's 5,000 square amas. So you'll see that 5,000 square amas throughout the Gemara are often referred to as a base sa'asayim. Good. If I have inferior walls, inferior Rishus HaYachid, so then I can't make it larger than 5,000 square amas. If I do so, it will be rabbinically forbidden to carry in such an area. This is what we classically call a karfaf. A karfaf area is basically now any area which is inferior. We're going to define what that means, inferior, in our Mishnah. But it's an inferior area. So if it's larger than 5,000 square amas, the Chachamim give it almost like a karmelis-like status, that even though Minatari, it is a Rosh HaSiyachin, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that there are walls around it, but because it's inferior, which we'll define, so therefore it cannot exceed more than 5,000 square amas. That's the discussion we're about to begin, and this is the halacha of Karfaf. This is very halach lamaisa because, right, any Karfaf now that we have is simply cannot carry in that area. Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava.
Area around the lake. Here.
Yeah, so good. That's where we're all going to go in terms of halach lamaisa, practical halacha. So when they make an area around the city, so they often have to take into consideration lakes and parks and golf courses here, where you're right. In other words, that's going to be an issue because those are going to be non-residential areas. Okay, but let's discuss. Rav Yehuda ben Bava makes an additional statement, meaning, now, the Gemara is going to note, this has nothing to do with what we discussed previously. Meaning, previously we were talking about, where can I put out the Pasei Beiros? Rav Yehuda ben Bava says, Ber HaRabim, and that's it. And now we're segueing into another discussion. It's not the same. It's a different discussion. We're now going to discuss Karfaf, but the Gemara will explain, I'm just giving away the Gemara right now, it's va'od because Rav Yehuda ben Bava is going to be machmir. Just like he was machmir on the issue of Pasei Beiros, he's going to be machmir in our Mishnah as well. And that is, that if I have a garden or a karfaf, which is 70 in Shirayim, by 70 in Shirayim, Hamukef is Gedr Gavos, Artfachim, which is surrounded by a wall, Mitautel and Betocha, I can carry inside of it, Uvavache Yeheba, Shamira, Obezdira, Oshete Smucha, Le'ir. But in order for me to carry in such an area, there has to be some sort of residence in it. How do we establish residence? One of three ways. Number one, says Rav Yehuda ben Bava, Shamira, some sort of guard booth. Two, Bezdira, house. Or three, Te Smucha Le'ir, has to be proximate to the city. Interestingly enough, we're never going to hear in the Gemara what exactly that means, being proximate to the city. You can make an argument it has to be 70 amas within the city. You can make an argument it has to be 2,000 amas in the city. I'm ready to entertain arguments. But in other words, if it's 5,000 square amas, so then there has to be some established residence in this area. If not, you cannot carry in such an area. Now, just in terms of the numbers, let's be a little bit more exacting regarding the numbers. Okay, I punched into my calculator. Let's just be a little bit more exacting in terms of the numbers. We're going to hear this again and again. 70 in Shirayim, 70 in Shirayim. First of all, Shirayim is two-thirds. Okay. Now, 70, two-thirds, 70, two-thirds. What did we just do? So I'll tell you what we did. Basically, what we did is we took the 5,000 square amas and we turned it into a square, and we want to know now what would be each side of the square. So again, just a little bit of math over here. So basically, we're looking for the square root, meaning what times what is going to equal 5,000 square amas. Well, you know how square roots work. Unless you have like a number like 100, you're never going to come out with a round number. 5,000 square amas, the square root of 5,000 square amas is 70.71. And then obviously it goes on from there. It's an irrational number. So 70.71, so that's not going to be pleasant to put in any term of the Mishnayos. So what they do is 70.71 and they round it. Here they happen to have rounded down. So instead of 70.71, it's going to now be 70.6666 with a line over the 6. Right, you know how this works. Good. So that is, so that's why we're using the number Shivim v'Shirayim. 70 in Shirayim, and again, Shirayim is two-thirds. Okay, even though it's slightly imprecise. In fact, just to share with you how imprecise we are, so what I did is I went the other way. So what if we multiply 70.66 times 70.66? So we're going to end up being just a little bit over six square amas shy of 5,000. Meaning it comes out to 4993.6, and then it goes on. From there, another rational number. But anyway, it's six amas. It's about six amas short of 5,000 square amas. So there is just a small discrepancy between what we're using, 70 shirayim, versus the square root of 5,000 square amas. In the meantime, however, let's go over this again. According to Rav Yehuda ben Bava, if I have an area of 5,000 square amas, or let me use his terminology, shivim by shirayim, unless it has a residential, some sort of residential claim to it, it is now considered a karfaf area, and it will be rabbinically forbidden to carry in such an area. And what is considered residential, so again, according to Rav Yehuda ben Bava, either a guard booth, a house, or it has to be some chalir. That's shita number one of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Omer, afilein ba ela bor v'siach u'ma'ara metalta mesocha. Rav Yehuda relaxes the rules. No. Even if it just has a pit or a cave or some sort of cistern, so then it would be considered residential. Because the pit basically means that it's going to have some sort of water source in it. We're going to need it. That's enough. That's enough residential status so that it's not considered now karfaf. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilo ein ba achas mikol eila mitalta mesocha. Rabbi Kiva says, no, I don't need any of that. Meaning if it is shivim and two-thirds and 70 and two-thirds, it doesn't need any of the above. The only thing, says Rabbi Kiva, is that it cannot exceed that number. Once it exceeds that number, then we have a serious problem. Then it has karmala status. But if it's 72 thirds, even though it has none of what we just described, not Rav Yehuda ben Bava's requirement of any of the three things, not Rav Yehuda's requirement of a cave or a cistern or a pit, if it has none of that, as long as it doesn't exceed 72 thirds, by 72 thirds, it is fine. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ma'isa Arka, Yesar Rachva, Filo Am Achas, Ein Metalta Masocha. Rabbi Eliezer says it has to be square. If it is rectangular in shape, by any amount, meaning even if length is one amma greater than width, and still the entirety of the structure is 5,000 square ammas, but if it's rectangular in shape, even the smallest amount of rectangular shape, it's going to be considered a prohibited area. You cannot carry in such an area. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afila Arka Pishnaim Barachva, Metalta Masocha. Rabbi Yossi says no. Even if length is twice the times of the width, i.e., what we have on the board, 100 by 50, that would be fine. Amar Rabbi Eli, Shamarti Me Rabbi Eliezer, Ve'afila Hi Kebeis Kor, and I heard in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, even if it's a base core. Now, Where did that come from? Meaning, we've been talking now about no longer than a base asayim. A core is 30 saw, which is 15 times greater than a base asayim. Even if it's a base core, it's fine. You can carry in such an area. But anyway, Rabbi Eli says, I heard that from Rabbi Eliezer. V'chein shamati mimenu, and here's another thing I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, which is, let's say you have a member of the Chatzar who forgot to contribute to the Erev. We haven't really touched this topic yet. It's a topic of Erevin which is we're gonna discuss at length. We just haven't hit it yet. We're only up to the second parak of Erevin. You need every member of the Chatzar to contribute bread. Right? You don't remember the shul coming to you asking you for bread for the Erev? No, of course you don't remember. they didn't do that. Okay, it's done for you. Okay, velo erev beso, the sheshacha chechem mehem velo erev beso. But in the good old days, they actually went around. Basket, everyone put bread in the basket. Let's say somebody didn't do it. So, what's the solution now? He has to be mevatel rishos. These are concepts which we haven't really discussed yet. So, but we're not going to get into it right now. This is not the time or place. We'll talk about it later on the Masechta. he has to be mevatel reshus, which means that he has to relinquish his rights to the common area of the chatzer, so that now for that Shabbos he disavows. He no longer has rights to the common area. So for him, he cannot transfer any item from the chatzer to his house. He no longer has rights. Any other member of the chatzer, can transfer from the chatzer into this person's house. Another statement I heard by Rabbi Eliezer, and a third statement I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, v'chein shamati mimenu shiyotzim bar kavlin bepesach. And then, totally out of left field, but we're in Chol Hamoed Pesach, it's the right time to talk about it. You could use our kavlin. It'd be helpful if I knew what it was. It's a type of bitter herb. It's not any of the five acceptable ones. Gemara, the Mishnah Psachim, like Lamed Tes area, goes over five different types of herbs which are acceptable for Maror. This not be one of them. So I heard in them, Rabbi Eliezer, that this one works. Chazarti al kol tamidav, uvikashti lo chaver v'lo matzasi. So basically, you could file this under three really out of the right, out of left field statements I heard from Rabbi Eliezer. It's more than left field. It's like it's in the bullpen, meaning it's really out there statements by Rabbi Eliezer. I looked around. I went to the students of Rabbi Eliezer. I looked for corroboration on any one of them. I found nothing. So in other words, these are statements which I heard. I have no corroborative evidence that he made such a statement, and that is how the Mishnah ends off awkwardly. In the meantime, however, we're back to the discussion of Karfav. The first discussion the Gemara is going to have is a very detailed discussion about the first word of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off with the words Ve'od Amar Rav Yehuda Ben Bava. Another thing says Rav Yehuda Ben Bava. So what's the Ve'od is obviously connected to the previous Mishnah. Man tani diktani Ve'od ilem mishum datani lechad lechomer bektani acherim mishum hachik tani Ve'od. So the Gemara suggests, look, it's the only pshat I could say. In the previous Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Ben Bava was machmer. In this Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Ben Bava is machmer. They're talking about two different issues. The previous Mishnah was Pasei Beros. This Mishnah is about Karfaf. And they're not totally disjointed, but it's not the same issue. So, what's the Va'od? So the Gemara says, well, he was Machmir over there, he's Machmir over here. That's the Va'od. So the Gemara says, okay, we could do that with Rav Yehuda, meaning Rav Yehuda by Pasei Beros. So he was machmir, followed then by being machmir. So where was he machmir? So he was machmir in the first Mishnah. Rav Yehuda said that the Pasei Beros cannot be greater than a Beis Asayim. That's the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches. And then, sorry, fast forward to the next Mishnah, which is the one we just did, on Chav Beis. And the Mishnah says, Rav Yehuda Omer, if there is a Rishus Rabim going through the Pasei Beros, you got to redirect traffic. So why doesn't that Mishnah start off with the word Va'od? Meaning it's a Chomra, followed then by a Chomra, so why not throw in a Va'od? So the Gemara says, Hasam Afsiku Rabbanan, Hachal Afsiku Rabbanan. Well, the Gemara says, we had a break. And because it was not a continuous, and it's hard to see this in our Gemara, because you have to look just at the Mishnah. In other words, you got to delete all the Gemara. And you got to just focus in just on the Mishnayos. Even in the Mishnayos, even after Rav Yehuda professed his position that a Pasei Beros cannot be greater than a Beis Asayim, but then the Chachamim opined, then we go back to Rav Yehuda, so it's Rav Yehuda, Chachamim, Rav Yehuda, that's why the Mishnah doesn't throw out the word Va'od. So then the Gemara does like a Google search on all the Mishnayos and Shas. Really? Is that really true? And the Gemara lands on the second parak of Sukkah, where there we have two Rabbi Eliezer's back to back, and even we have two Rabbi Eliezer's back to back, and it's Chumrah followed then by Chumrah, and the Chachamim intervened. And it says the word va'od, right? It's really like real bekias of the Gemara. So, right? So, how does that work? The ketani va'od. And you want to see the Mishnayos? We don't. You could just look at Rashi. Rashi goes through the Mishnayos inside. Denami Maseches Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yudal Tzudos Chayav Adam Lechol B'Sukkah V'Chacham Amar Mimela Davar Kitzva. How many meals do we have to eat in Sukkos on Sukkos? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, 14 meals, two per day. Okay, 7 days of Sukkos, two meals per day, 14 meals total. Not as an option, as an obligation. And then va'od amar Rabbi Eliezer mishloach leilei yom tov rishon yishyashlem leilei yom tov ha'acharon. And then there's this idea of tashlumim. What if I miss my first night in the sukkah? So Rabbi Eliezer says there's tashlumim, there's a makeup, which is interesting. You didn't have to say that was a chumrah. You could say that that's almost like a break that we have that we can. In other words, that we didn't lose that mitzvah opportunity. Anyway. But what happens over there is that you have two statements of Rabbi Eliezer. It's not contiguous. The Chachamim break in the middle. And meanwhile, the Mishnah say the word vod. Okay. So, Hasam b'milsa, back to the Gemara. The Gemara explains. Hasam b'milsa udaf sekua, hacha b'milsa achrit af sekua. So the Gemara says, look, the Mishnah over there in Sukkah didn't change the topic. It's the same topic, eating in the Sukkah. So even though the Chachamim broke in the middle, but in other words, we understand we're still on topic of eating in the Sukkah on Sukkos, so therefore, the next Mishnah starts off with the word Va'od. Here in Erevin, Rav Yehuda ben Bava comes on the bottom of the previous Amud, comes on the top of this Amud, even though there are two different topics, one's Pasta Beros and the other one is Karfaf, but at least there's no break in the middle. No one's breaking in the middle, so that's why it's Va'od. As opposed to Rav Yehuda in the beginning of our perek, where we go from his statement regarding Pasei Beiros cannot exceed a Beis Asayim, to the next Mishnah which talks about traffic going through, so and because the Chachamim broke in the middle, and because it's not the same topic exactly, so therefore it doesn't get the word Va'od. Okay, a lot of discussion in the Gemara, just on the rules of when the Mishnahs use the word va'od and when it does not use the word va'od. Okay. At the top of the next Amud, Rabbi Kiva Hainu Tanakama. Okay. And so now, we're going to look at the Mishnah again. We're basically detailing... reading the heading of the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Kiva Omer, I feel Ba'echa Mikol Eila Metalta Mesocha. Good. So Rabbi Kiva says that if I have a... Even if I have no residential usages inside, so it can be, the area can be a Beis Asayim. So the Gemara says, isn't Rabbi Kiva basically the same as the Tanakama? Meaning, as Rashi explains on the top of the Amud, right? Amru lo Amru Beis Asayim, ela legina lekarfaf, avayim haya, ama hechadiika Beis Dira, afilu tuva vishlohu kavla Dira, Beis Asayim ka Rabbi Kiva. Meaning, that's really what the Tanakama is saying. If it's made for residential uses, if it's hukkah fladira, so then it can be as big as you want. If it's not hukkah fladira, it maxes out at a Beis Asayim. So what's Rabbi Kiva being differing at all from the Tanakama? The Gemara says, really small difference between them, Ika Benayu, Dvar Muat. There is a tiny difference between them. Detang Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dvar Muat, Yesh Shel Shivim Amav Vishirayim, V'lo Nanu Chachamim Boshir, V'kamashir, Sasayim, Kechatzer, HaMishkan. So the Gemara says, you want to know what the difference is? What I went over a little bit earlier in the daf today. Which is, that if it's 70 and 2/3 by 70 and 2/3, it comes out to 4,993 and change. If it's a Beis Sasayim, that's 5,000 square amas. So the real subtle difference between the two, between Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakama, is going to be that Dover Muah, it's going to be that little amount. Let's get through this next part of the Gemara, let's get to the two dots, we'll finish up for today. The Kamashir Sasayim, this area of a Sasayim, how big is it? Kechatzer HaMishkan. It's the size of the Mishkan. Now, the Gemara basically says, how do we do that? How do we take the size of the Mishkan, which is a rectangular shape, a 50 by 100, which is 5,000 square amas, and how do we turn that into 72/3. Now, again, we could do it with the math that we went over earlier, and that is just simply find out the total square area, which is 5,000, take the square root of it, good. But the Gemara is going to do something interesting, which is basically what I have over there on the board. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Krah. Now, it's really based on a pasuk, but it's, as the Gemara is going to point out, it's really an asmachta. And that's the following. Erech ha-chatzer me'a ba'amah ha-verach of chamishim ba-chamishim. As far as the total square area of the chatzer, it's 50 by 100. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, me'a ba'amah by chamishim be-chamishim. 50 by 50. Why does the Torah do that? Amar Torah yitol chamishim v'savev chamishim. So what the Torah is telling us to do basically is like this. Take your 100 by 50, so cut it in half. Cut in half lengthwise. So now it's really an area, a plot of 50 by 50, and then you have another plot, which is total, obviously, 50 by 50. Take the bottom portion, doesn't matter, top, bottom, I just marked it that way, and basically now cut it up and surround it, go all the way around. So if you will now just to use a little bit of imagination, so take now those four strips of 10 on the bottom, and basically surround it around the outlying area. So now, obviously, we're missing the corners. Not a problem. Take every square. That is a square, okay, contrary to what I drew over there. Take the squares of 10 by 10, and now fill in the corners. So now what do I have in total? If you're picturing what I'm picturing right now, we have now a square that is 70 by 70. Okay, a perfect 70 by 70. What we're left with is one extra square of 10 by 10. Although, if you notice on my drawing, I didn't say 10 by 10. I said 60 by 60. Why did I do that? Because I went to Tfachim. I reduced it down to Tfachim. Basically, now what we're going to do is we're going to take that last strip of 10 by 10, just simply, instead of calling it 10 Tfachim, sorry, 10 Amos, we're now going to call it 60 by 60 Tfachim. We're now going to strip it down to two Tfachim strips. And how many of them are going to come off of that? 30 of them. And with those 32 Tfachim strip, we're going to be able to go almost entirely around the entire area. And that'll now get us to a box, a square of 72 thirds and 72 thirds. Right? Almost precise, but that's basically how the job is done.
Rabbi, I believe you, but I'm totally confused. 50, you know,
so I'll tell you what. Look, come to me after. Okay? It's a... It's an important point, but I'll go over it afterwards. Pasha dekra b'maitziv, Amar Abaye Haman Mishkan Asfas Chamishim Kedei Shei Chamishim Amal Afanav. No, I'm sorry. Good. That's how you get to the square based on the area of 50 by 100. Now, the Gemara says Pasha dekra b'maitziv, meaning, look, all that's well and good, but to say that that's really what the Torah is talking about. Meaning when the Torah is telling us what the courtyard of the Mishkan is, and the Gemara is basically winking at us, winking at us and telling us, oh, and by the way, if you take the area and you square the area, so now you're going to get to the dimensions of a karfaf, which is a din derabanan, which is not outrageous to make that statement. Meaning, in other words, encrypted in the Torah could be all the considerations, even yisur derabanan in the future. There's room for such an idea. But the Gemara says, but simple pshat in the pasuk. What is a simple pshat? So the Gemara says, a simple pshat is like this. Amar Abaye, Hamein Mishkan Asfas Chamishim Kedei Shehei Chamishim Ma'am Lafana Ve'esri Ma'am L'chol Ruach Ruach. Simple pshat in the pasuk is like this. You'll forgive the analogy. But basically, make a 50-yard line in the middle of the chatzer. Meaning you have a chatzer that's 50 by 100. And basically, set a midpoint. That's Chamishim ba'Chamishim. And there, it's at that point in time you start the Mishkan. Meaning the Mishkan is the actual edifice in the Chatzer. That's the actual building. You're only going to start it at the 50 Amma mark. And then go back into the Chatzer. So that means that when I make my Mishkan, there are going to be 20 Ammas in this direction to the east, 20 Ammas, I should say rather, to the north, 20 Ammas to the south. And 20 Amas behind it. So, but in other words, but really that's the simple pshat, where to put the Mishkan in the Chatzer. Good. Yeah, okay, we'll do one more. And then we'll finish up for today. Rabbi Lazar Amim Haisarka, Vatayim Rabbi Lazar Amim Haisarka, Yasa Pishtayim Barachva, Afilama Achas Ematalkim Masocha. So we have a braisa that talks about the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, which is that it cannot exceed two times, the length cannot exceed two times the width. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Ki Tanan Amim Asisin, Yesa Pishtayim Berachva Tanan. So the Gemara says that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer meant in our Mishnah as well. Ihachi and Rabbi Yossi. So once again, so then it comes out that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi are really one and the same. Answers the Gemara. So the Gemara says, yeah, there's going to be one subtle difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer, and that is the following. When making the shape of the karfaf, what is a preferable shape? Can it be a rectangle, or should it be a square? The Gemara says that's a subtle difference. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that that it can be either. It can be rectangular, or it could be square. Whereas according to Rav Yossi, really, the primary shape of this karfaf area should be a square. And then if you happen to make it rectangular, that's fine, as long as the length doesn't exceed two times the width. Okay, so that's your differences between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll break at this point. Tomorrow we'll talk more in terms of the halacha lemaisa by karfaf. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more also in terms of what do we do with our modern karfafs nowadays. I'll speak a little bit to that as well. And everyone have a wonderful Yontif. Good Erev Yontif. Tomorrow we meet an hour before Mincha. And the same thing is true regarding Tuesday, an hour before Mincha, an hour before the earlier Mincha. Yeah.